faithinthecity.com.
Faith in a little different terms this morning. And as we do, we're going to actually get to that part of that theme or that idea much later on in the message. Because really, I think what's most important is we're going to work towards that as we look a little bit back on some things we talked about last week. So if you weren't here, you're going to get caught up. And if you were here, this would be just a good refresher, challenger, reminder, and kind of set the tone. We're going to dig a little deeper this morning. So last week, we talked about big-time dreams and how Jesus planted this seed of God's dream for a people of his own, his church. And he planted that seed. Jesus planted that seed in the hearts of his disciples. And then after he died, was buried, rose again, spent some time with them, and just before he ascended into heaven, he kind of unleashed this idea that God's dream for the church was going to happen through them. He said, you're going to go, you're going to be my witnesses, you're going to make disciples in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and through all Judea, and even to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit is poured out on them, and they begin to tell people about Jesus, and on day one of the church, the birth of the church, 3,000 people in Jerusalem come to be followers of Jesus. They put their faith and trust in Christ. 3,000 people. And with that, God's dream begins to become a reality, right? The church is born. Now, he didn't just see a cool church in Jerusalem. He saw it spreading throughout the world to different communities of faith throughout the world in all different nations, different types of people, different tribes, different tongues, different nations. And he didn't just see it for that particular time or era. He saw it being something that would happen, a group of called out people that were his own, the church, spreading throughout the generations. And when he saw that, when he had that in mind, he had us, Portico Church, in mind too. He had each one of you as a part of that dream. And so we took a look last week at some important aspects of what he wants that dream to look like, what his church was supposed to look like. So we're going to look once again at that same passage, Acts 2, starting in verse 42. And we use the English Standard Version Bibles here. They're always available at the back for you. But a lot of you have, you know, your Bible on your phone or your iPad or whatever. That's cool. I put in a little plug that the ESV has a free app that you can get right on your phone if you ever want that, and maybe you can follow along right there. So I'm going to do that this morning. So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, and this is right after we find that 3,000 people became followers of Jesus, and it talks about what that church looked like. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Okay, so this passage in Acts 2 gives us a picture of what the early church looked like. It's a great picture, and there's quite a few specific things that are mentioned in it, but we talked about three things generally that God dreams his church would be. Three things God dreams his church would be. He dreams that it would be a church that gathers, a church that gives, and a church that grows. And that's the kind of church he wants us here at Portico to be. So this morning we're going to dive into each of those areas a little bit and look at them a little bit more closely, okay? So first of all, we're called to be a church that gathers. Portico, you and I, us, we, this community of faith, we're called to be a church that gathers. And as we talk about gathering, there's two important aspects here at Portico to being a gathering church, okay? Now, first off, like the early church gathered in the temple, as a church, we gather for worship, okay? We gather for worship. That's what we're called to. Now, if you're a little confused about what worship really is, I could sum it up this way. The definition is to bow down before or to kiss affectionately. And it's talking about God, but the idea behind worship is that we're going to honor God and express our love and affection for him. That's what worship is about. I usually sum it up that way, to honor God and to express our love and affection for him. The Bible says, Jesus said, that God is seeking worshipers. People who will honor him with their lives and express their love and affection for him. He talked about this with the woman at the well in Samaria, in John 4:23. In just that one verse, we're not going to look at the whole story. He said this to the woman, but the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. The Father is seeking such people to worship him. Now, God isn't looking for people to worship him because he's arrogant or boastful or a prideful God. It's because he's so perfect and righteous and holy that he is worthy of worship. He is holy. He's altogether different, altogether set apart. And he is worthy of worship. Because of who he is, God deserves it. Okay? Now, he doesn't need our worship. And he doesn't force us to worship him. But he seeks it. And he longs for it. So on Sunday mornings, we gather each week and we have a worship gathering. Okay? We gather for worship. When we sing, we're worshiping God. Right? When we look at God's word, we're worshiping God. When we spend time in communion or prayer, we're worshiping God. When we give an offering, it's an act of worship. We should be worshiping God. Right? Now, some people will call this time a church service, and if you do, that's fine. No big deal. But you'll normally see on our printed stuff, and you'll hear me refer to it as a worship gathering. Right? Because that's what we're here to do. We're gathering for worship. And it's pretty central to who we are and who we're called to be as a church. Okay? So the first thing is we gather for worship. And while Sunday morning and this worship gathering is a pretty big deal, there's much more to gathering or being a gathering church than just showing up on Sunday morning. We also gather for connection. We gather for worship and we gather for connection. In Acts 2:46, in the passage we just heard, it says, every day they continued, this is the NIV, a little different translation than what we read. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Okay, so they gathered in the temple courts for worship. And they broke bread in their homes for connection. Right? Now the Bible word that we often hear in Scripture of this idea of connection with one another is usually translated fellowship. That's the word that's often used. It's a Greek word, koinonia, which refers to having an intimate connection with people that share something in common. And that thing that we share in common, of course, is Jesus. Now, we do experience, to a certain degree, a connection here on Sunday mornings. And because we're a smaller church, it makes it a bit easier to do than maybe a much larger church. But also, I think we also have the advantage of we like hanging out for cookies, right? And snacks and refreshments afterwards. So we can build a certain degree of connection just by being here on Sunday mornings. But real meaningful connections, conversations, that typically doesn't just happen here on Sunday mornings. It happens outside of church. And in smaller groups, people gathering together, and we call those connection groups here, right? That's where in-depth conversation and prayer and encouragement can help strengthen our faith and help us build stronger relationships. So we always encourage everyone to plug into one of our connection groups. It's part of what we do to be a gathering church. Okay, now, a little side note in regards to this. When it comes to We also have a kids ministry downstairs. They meet during this worship gathering. Probably know that. We also have a youth group that meets on Sunday nights. A number of students coming together, a number of leaders pouring into them. And those two programs, when we meet, we combine these concepts into one time slot, right? Gathering. We gather for worship in a big group, and we spend time in small groups as well. So there's worship and connection happening. And so that's one of the reasons I really want to encourage you, if you're a parent or know some kids or whatever, invite them to be a part of that. Make sure that's a priority, because it's their opportunity for worship and connection, to be a gathering church. Okay, so that's how we do that here. All right, so we're called to be a church that gathers for worship, gathers for connection. The second area that we talked about was we're called to be a church that gives. We're called to be a church that gives. And again, two areas where we're called to be a church that gives. First of all, we give by serving. We give by serving. We're supposed to give of our time and energy, our abilities and our giftedness. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about this quite a bit. I'm going to read just a few select verses. You can look the full passage up if you like later on. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Translated, God has given you gifts to use, and you've got to use them. Where would the church be without you? Where would we be? Where would Portico Church be if you're not using your gifts within our church body? Okay, we'd be missing something crucial. That's why last week you heard a comment that was made. If we want to see God's dream realized, it's going to take every one of us to give everything we've got. Here's what I mean by that. God has gifted you with something special, something specific, something unique that we need here at Portico. Okay, and when you use those gifts, that's how you find your specific purpose and place in a community of faith. And when you use those gifts, it's how we become everything God dreamed for us to be. Right? The two go hand in hand. I had a really cool opportunity last week to talk with somebody. I'm not going to name them and put them on the spot. But her name is Adi. And I figure if Otis, who is Adi's husband, could pick on Faith that much, I think she's maybe fair game in the message. No, it's not picking on her. But we had a great conversation last week as we talked about this idea, spiritual gifts. And she just said to me, Eric, I know I've been serving in certain capacities, and that's cool, but I really feel like I have some other gifts and talents and abilities and skills that I can put to use in another area, and I'd like to move into that area because I feel like that's I could really do some great things, or I could really be a big help there. And it's such a cool area of need. I was so excited to hear that, because it's someone thinking about, wow, how can I serve? And not just how can I serve, but how can I really use my gifts to plug in to a place that I can have some great impact on people. And so that was really exciting. And I think that's the kind of thing that we want to see here. It's also the kind of thing this passage is talking about. You have unique, special gifts that God wants you to use. And when you use them, you find your place here, and we start to become more of what God dreamed for us to be. Okay? So we give by serving. That's one of the aspects of being a giving church. We also give by giving. Financially. That didn't sound good, so we're going to change the word here. We give by generosity. All right? Got real quiet on Sunday morning, because now we're talking about finances. It's It's only for a couple minutes. Hang in there. Here's what I want to share with you about this. Paul held up the Macedonian churches as models for giving. Okay, he was writing about this to a church in Corinth. And he held up the Macedonian churches as a model for giving. They gave joyfully to the cause of Christ despite very difficult financial circumstances that they were facing. They gave above and beyond their means. And they were so overcome by the forgiveness of Jesus, the mercy and grace that they had received, that it poured out to them that when it came to contributing financially toward the mission of Jesus, for them it was a no-brainer. Right? It was something they had to do. In fact, Paul says they were begging Paul to allow them to contribute to the mission and work and to support the people that needed it. Now, we have some very generous givers here in this church, but I've got to be honest with you, I don't recall any time anyone came up and begged me for the offering plate, right? I don't think that's ever happened. That's what these people were doing. They're saying, look, we want to contribute to this mission because we've experienced who Jesus is, and we want to see this happen in other places in the world. We want it to continue. We want to support it. So they were begging to give. Now, these churches in Macedonia were fairly poor, but they were the model that Paul used to challenge a church at Corinth, which was actually a pretty wealthy city. And Paul wrote this, after he talked about that, he wrote this, 2 Corinthians 8:7. He said, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Right? See that you excel in this also. He was calling them to excellence in giving. Now, when you read that, you could say, well, Paul isn't saying they had to give. But what he was saying was they had to give. Okay? That's what he was saying. He wasn't commanding them to do it, but it was something they were supposed to do. Not only that, but they were supposed to give with a right heart. Okay? Now, Paul wrote elsewhere in Scripture that he doesn't want us to give out of compulsion or guilt, right? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, some would say this might mean that we should only give what we can give joyfully, right? If I can be happy with it, then that's all that I should really give. Any more than that, and I don't know that I should. Well, that could be one take on it. I would disagree with that. I believe that more accurately what Paul is saying is this. We need to give generously, and the motive of our heart should be joy. Right? It should be joy of giving to God and to his purposes, not guilt. So we have to ask those questions. If we're giving something, are we giving generously? If we're giving generously, are we doing it joyfully? And if not, we probably need to check our hearts. Right? We need to check our hearts. Because God wants us each to be giving generously, not because we have to, but because we want to. And that was the story that Paul was holding up. That was the challenge to that church. It's interesting, this last week, a friend of mine, not someone from this church, was talking with me about some difficult circumstances that they were going through, and their family was going to have to kind of peel back on some things because of just a change in their financial situation. And as that was going on, he was really wrestling with the fact that he felt, really challenged by God, and God had put it on his heart to really start to give in a significant way towards the cause of Christ, and felt like they hadn't really been able to do that. Then this difficulty hits, and he's going, I don't know how in the world this is going to happen, but I know God's calling me to do this. So as he began to work through some of the financial things that they could do, some restructuring, some changing of schedules, slight changes in their spending, and just some refinancing of certain things, when all was said and done, he looked at the budget and said, I have more money to give now than I apparently had before, right? Like there was just this, God just made this way to be able to take care of the needs that he had and still be able to give as God had called him to. And I share that story because the reality is that when we give as God calls us to, he honors that. He blesses us for it. And so while it can be very difficult sometimes to give or to start giving, know and hear that God blesses us when we are faithful in this. In fact, it's the only place, it's the only time in Scripture where he says, go ahead and test me in this, right? In Malachi, he's like, just go ahead and test me. See if I won't pour out my blessings on you, all right? Try me, he says. And that's exactly what my friend experienced. And that was just a cool story to hear, and I wanted to share that with you this morning. So we're supposed to give by serving. We're supposed to give by giving of our finances or give generously. And that's going to be necessary if we want to see God's dream for our church realized. Okay, so those two areas, we gather for worship, we gather for connection, we give by serving, we give by generosity. Now, last two, we're also called to be a church that grows. We're also called to be a church that grows. The church that was born in Acts 2, it's an amazing start. Day one, 3,000 people, day one. But that was only the beginning. Listen to some of the words of Acts as the work of Jesus, the mission of Jesus in the world starts spreading through his people. Listen to how it progresses. In Acts chapter 2, in that section we just read, the last verse was this, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, as things continue, a few chapters later, we hear this in Acts 5, 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. The next chapter, Acts 6, 7, verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. And three chapters later, Acts 9, 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Right? It starts out, God's adding to their number, and eventually it's like multiplying, right? It's growing. And the reality is this, if we, as a church, are having an impact on people with the hope of Jesus, with the good news of the gospel, and what Jesus has done on the cross for us, we'll be growing in numbers, right? That's going to happen. Doesn't mean everybody that we impact will come here to church, and that's okay. But ultimately, if we're having an impact, we're going to grow. There will be more people here on Sundays, more adults, more kids, right? More youth, more connection groups, all of that. That's the inevitable result of impacting people with the gospel. We'll grow. Okay? While we realize, and this is super important, while we realize that we can't make anyone come to faith in Jesus, we can't force that, we can point people toward him, right? That's what we're called to do. And so the results are ultimately up to him, but we can do our part to point people to the Jesus that we know and love, all right? And so at Portico, we will become who God wants us to be, a church that grows, when we focus on a couple of important things, and there are two things that we ask of people to do here. And this is going to sound familiar if you've been around for a while, but it's kind of time to revisit it again. First of all, we're going to grow through conversations. We're going to grow through conversations, specifically spiritual conversations. Right? Because people who don't know Jesus can't respond to Jesus unless they hear about Jesus. I'm going to say that again because that's kind of important. People who don't know Jesus can't respond to Jesus unless they hear about Jesus. So we've got to have conversations about Jesus with them. That's how God has chosen to spread the gospel message. So we encourage each person to pray that God would just open the door to a spiritual conversation each week. And when I say that, I mean something outside of church, right? We want to see that outside of church. But would we pray every day that God would just open the door to a spiritual conversation and keep our eyes open and see what he does? Okay, so we grow through conversations. We also grow through invitations. Okay, that's the second way. We grow through invitations. So we ask you regularly to invite people to Portico's worship gatherings. We also, it's just simple as saying, hey, would you come to church with me? Right? Doesn't have to be complicated. Just invite them to come. And from time to time, we have community building events where we say, let's, as a community, do something together. And again, let's invite family and friends and people to join us. We're going to have another one of those in 2 weeks. You may have heard about that in the email, if you check that, or on Facebook this week. In two Sundays, October 30th, we are going to be going bowling instead of to church. Right? We've done this before, and you'll hear a little bit more about it at the end, but it's an opportunity for us. We'll go bowling together. You invite friends. Right? We'll pay for your friends to come bowling. That's what we're going to do. All right? Just for an opportunity to connect and hang out and be together and build that relationship. And we'll see what God does. Okay? So we grow through conversations. We grow through invitations. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:11 and verse 20 say this: therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Right? That's what we're trying to do, is persuade others to understand who Jesus is, what he's done for us on the cross, the good news of the gospel. And then verse 20 says, therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Right? That's what we're doing. We've come to know the truth of Jesus in our own lives. Now that we're followers of Jesus, we are also his ambassadors, his messengers. He chose and chooses to take the gospel to those around us and to implore them to be reconciled to God by putting their faith and trust in Jesus, and he chooses to use us to do it. It's an amazing thing. So we grow through conversation, we grow through invitations. All right, that's part of God's dream for us at Portico. Now, that might be all good. You're thinking, well, that's all good, but what about that part about the big-time faith? But that was the point of this morning, and here it comes as we kind of wrap things up. Here's the key idea. Look, big-time dreams require big-time faith. Right? Big-time dreams require big-time faith. If we want to see God's dream for us as a church realized, we have got to step into each one of these six areas as a church, as individuals. Now, here's the thing. Some of them are going to come pretty naturally for you. We talked about this in our small group. There are some that it's like, oh, yeah, I could do that. That's easy. This one's hard, you know. Well, it might be easy for you to trust God in a few of them. The others will be a real challenge. But here's something that I think we've got to know about those areas that are a real challenge for us. The areas you struggle with are probably the key to your spiritual growth. The areas you struggle with are probably the key to your spiritual growth. They're usually more important than the ones you're good at. So we should start taking a serious look at them. Why? Because they require the most faith. Right? If you struggle with them, if you're not good at them, that's where more faith is required. And we need to depend on God. You know, I think of like, okay, there's Moses, who God chose to deliver his people from Egypt, but he didn't want to go because he had to speak to Pharaoh and he didn't speak very well. Right? I don't know that you got the right guy. But God chose him and he had to depend on God. Think of stories like Gideon, he thought so little of himself. He was hiding away underground while enemies around him ransacked their villages, and God said, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. And he's like, yeah, right, whatever. But God used him. Because he was faithful. He just trusted him. Think of David, King David, who was just out, shepherd, watching the sheep. You know? Not even like high on the pecking list in the family, pretty low on the totem pole. But God chose him to be an incredible king. Right? See, the areas that we struggle with are the key to our spiritual growth because they require the most faith. We can put that one up. I think we've got that. No? All right. Well, I will say it again, and you can fill it in if you like. Nope. You can hold Rob. So the areas that you struggle with are the key to your spiritual growth because they require the most faith. Now, here's the thing. Every time you say yes to God, it takes faith. Every time We say yes to God, no matter how small it seems, though, it makes the next time that much easier. In our small group this last week, our connection group, someone described it like working a muscle. Right? At first, it hurts a lot because you've never used it before. And so it's sore and it hurts. But every time we use it, it gets a little stronger. Right? We can do more than we even thought possible. What might seem like a huge step right now, you may one day look back on and go, oh, that was nothing. But look what God has brought about in me. I remember when that was a big step for me. But now I'm ready to take this challenge that's like nothing. I mean, nothing as small as that. If you are good at gathering for worship and giving by serving, but do very little financially by giving by generosity, you probably aren't going to grow spiritually all that much until you take steps of faith in the area that you struggle with, because it requires deeper trust and dependence on God. If you're good at giving with generosity and maybe gathering in connection, but it's been like 6 months or a year since you invited someone to church, you probably aren't going to grow spiritually until you take steps of faith in that area, because it requires you to trust God in a deeper way. It takes greater faith, which is exactly what God wants to bring about in you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to close our time of worship together with the song that we played last week, the song, As For Me. And just simply saying, look, we are wanting Jesus to be made known in our life. But as we work our way towards the end of it, can I ask you, would you consider this week, where do I need to take significant steps of faith in each of these areas? Okay, is it worship? Is it in connection? Is it in serving or giving financially? Is it spiritual conversation? Is it extending invitations to others? Because if we want to see God's dream for us realized as a church, we've got to work those muscles. We've got to work those muscles. Because big-time dreams will require a big-time faith. Let's pray, and then we'll close in worship this morning. Father God, we know that as we look at, talk about these different areas, it can feel like a lot of head information, things to know about Portico. But at the heart of it is really the heart you have for us. That we would be a church that represents or reflects your dream for your church. A church that gathers to worship you, that gathers in connection with one another in close relationships and encourages one another. To be a church that gives of our gifts and our time and our energy for the sake of the body, for the sake of those who don't know you. And a church that gives financially to support the work that you want to accomplish in the world. To be a church also that grows, not just for the sake of numbers, but because every person matters to you. And you want all people to know the truth and hope of who you are and what Jesus has done in offering forgiveness on the cross. And so we grow. We trust that we will grow by extending invitations and by having spiritual conversations with those around us. And Lord God, in those areas that we are weakest, in the areas that we struggle with, we pray that you would simply give us strength. Give us the eyes and the heart to look at those things, to consider them sincerely, and to seek you in what you say would be a next step of faith for us as we move forward in it. And as we do, we trust that you will grow us up spiritually, that you'll bring us to a greater level of maturity. So we pray these things, we ask these things in your name, and we ask them of you because we want to see you made known throughout this world. Because you are worth it. You deserve it. And so we worship you in this moment. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.